Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
I'm Ed Burns, reporter with SearchHealthIT.com. I'm here with my colleague Don Fluckinger, who just got back from the American Telemedicine Association annual meeting in Austin, Texas. How are you, Don?
Hey, I'm doing well, and thanks everybody out there in internet land for joining us today, wherever you may be.
Great. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you saw at the conference? What was the tone of the attendees? Were they optimistic about the future of telemedicine or concerned about policy? What was on the mind of attendees?
All of the above. But spirits were pretty high because it was the biggest ever attendance they'd had at a show, and they took over Austin. And I think there's a lot of optimism out there because I think telemedicine in general has been, I'm not going to say marginalized, but sort of not used in the mainstream as much up until now. But with accountable care organization models and just the need for more primary care coverage out there, that telemedicine is starting to go mainstream. And in the American Telemedicine Association is really poised to take advantage of these shifting sands in the American healthcare system to expand telemedicine implementations across the country.
It's interesting you talk about telemedicine going mainstream. I know within the last couple weeks, both USA Today and NPR have published pieces on telemedicine. So it's not just the health IT publications like ours that are looking at it. It is everyone. But so I was wondering if you could tell me about any particular sessions you attended that stood out, anything that was particularly interesting to you?
Yeah, there was a fascinating session where a coal mining company that is, you know, it has installations and mines in several states, but basically they are in eastern Kentucky, and it's very backwater Appalachia, but they're doing some cutting-edge care for the miners there, almost a gamification aspect. But the thing is, most of the coal mining employees are over 50 years old, and the employer, you know, because it cares about its employees and keeping them around and their health, as well as wanting to cut costs for their insurance to what is probably a high-risk population, they developed this program called the Heart Health Age, something that's easy for every individual employee to grasp. And they sort of showed through baseline analysis what an employee's heart age is in comparison to their chronological age. So if you're a 55-year-old man and a doctor is telling you you have a 75-year-old heart and you need to lose 50 pounds, you need to correct diet and exercise, that's a concept that's pretty easy to grasp. And they set up, basically employees are competing with themselves. They're trying to get that heart age more like their chronological age or even lower. But then they set, you know, groups of employees at one mine versus groups of employees at another mine. They've turned this patient engagement thing into gamification, and they have a lot of success with it. They showed stats where these employees have reduced their heart age and brought it more in line with what it should be. And this is all through telemedicine programs. They have a physician that goes in a van with the video hookups. They can have specialist visits while they're out there on the job, and they're not having to drive 2 hours to the University of Kentucky, who is helping set up this technology for the roaming physician. But it was fascinating how even in these remote territories where many physicians won't go and practice because it's just not lucrative or there's not enough people to serve, that they can bring this cutting-edge care. I thought that was really cool.
What about the question of reimbursements? I mean, whenever we talk to people about telehealth and telemedicine, it seems like they all say, you know, we can do all this wonderful stuff, but we're not getting paid for it, so that kind of puts a damper on our efforts. So from the sessions, people you interviewed, what were people talking about as far as reimbursements?
After the convention had ended, there was an extra day, a post-convention conference on state Medicaid legislation, where legislators from several different states told their story of how they are working to get their respective Medicaids to reimburse more for telemedicine. And that's sort of the idea, is once it's accepted by Medicaid, hopefully private insurers will follow. And it was very interesting to hear that, like, say, in Mississippi, there was a Republican-led effort to bring telemedicine into Medicaid. And in other states, you know, there were Democrats. And it was clearly bipartisan support for telemedicine and bipartisan resistance to it in other cases. And the most impressive presenter in this situation was Maryland State Senator Catherine Pugh. She is a Democrat, and she introduced some base legislation several years ago that sort of defined telemedicine and, you know, talked about the ways it could be reimbursed. And then each year they tack on another service that can be reimbursed. And she's got focus groups. She's got telemedicine folks coming in to demonstrate to other legislators. She's got a lot of research on the efficacy of it and who they're serving. And she is just an amazing model of efficiency as a legislator, and shows a roadmap to other states that are struggling to, you know, stop the bickering and get the reimbursement happening. And so with any luck, some of the things that she showed to her fellow legislators from other states will turn into success there. But that seems to be where the front line is in getting Medicaid reimbursement at the state level as well as Medicare. And once they do that, they hope some dominoes will fall and telemedicine will be more accepted among commercial payers as well.
Mm. But it's interesting to me that there, a lot of people are trying to make it happen through Medicaid, which would go on a state-by-state basis. So, I mean, Mississippi can put in place reimbursement policies, but then, you know, patients in Utah, for example, are going to be left out of that. So is there any plans for what happens after Medicaid?
Yeah, but they also have to tackle issues of interstate health information exchange and licensure. Telemedicine companies, there aren't very many that can serve up their services nationally because of the, you have to be licensed in each state and credentialed at each hospital where you practice. So they have a rat's nest of regulations and other hurdles to overcome before there's really a nationwide standard of telehealth. But they're working on all these things all at once. So I commend their optimism.
There's some tricky issues there, that's for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
But so what about the issue of integrating telemedicine services into an EHR? I mean, that seems like a pretty important feature of telemedicine. If you're going out and treating all these patients remotely and collecting all this data, what good is it if it's not in the patient's record? So what's being done on that front?
The good news is there is some information exchange going on. Obviously, if somebody takes a phone call on behalf of a physician, or there's a specialist visit or something like that, there has to be some information entered into that patient's electronic medical record. And so these telemedicine providers are trying to figure out how to insert the coordination of care, the handoffs, the, you know, what happened in the visit into EHRs. But it looks like it's more faxes and static non-searchable PDFs that are ending up in the patient's medical record than actual, you know, data that's interoperable and searchable and all this stuff. And the people I talk to seem to think that was because the physicians aren't ready to receive it. The telemedicine providers are making strides in being able to hand data off in a 2013 kind of way, but the physicians aren't quite ready to receive it in the most high-tech ways. So fax is king.
I know that I've done some reporting on the potential impacts that telehealth could have on the looming primary care physician shortage. And so I was wondering if that's something that anyone was talking about at this conference.
Yes, and that seems to be a new push for several telemedicine providers. And it's a pretty sticky issue because telemedicine, up to the last few years, has seemed to be something where specialists are sort of extending their reach into underserved populations, and it's a, you know, a really good fit for telestroke, teledermatology. There's some teleoncology where, you know, a patient doesn't have to fly three states over to see the one specialist who can help them with their treatment. But now with primary care, I saw several instances of companies who are doing things like setting up after-hours call centers in areas where there are primary care physician shortages and taking the burden off of overworked primary care docs. The primary care docs aren't excited about this at first because they have several fears. One, that they're being outsourced. Two, that these telemedicine companies will take away efficiencies in their practices, such as easy coughs and colds that take 5 minutes in an antibiotics prescription that are paid the same as the longer, more complex patients. And they're worried that their income and reimbursements will go way down because they are saddled with the hard cases that a telemedicine provider can't take care of, you know, 90 miles away on the phone or on the video or whatever. But Once the telemedicine provider addresses those fears and the ground rules are set up, it seems to be working okay. It seems to be doing what they want, which is giving the primary care doc a life outside the office and also alleviating the shortage of primary care docs and keeping patients out of the emergency room for coughs and colds.
Well, it sounds like it was an interesting show. Lots of points that we'll need to keep an eye on over the next few years. So thanks for taking the time to recap it all for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ed.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.